You got
We've come
me.
A long That's way.
First time in over 7 months, I'm late to get back from the break.
To your show.
Yeah, because I'm eating garlic bread and I'm trying to act like a hero upstairs.
You have to do a taste tester.
It's a must.
The garlic bread staring at you, you have to have a bite. I mean,
no choice.
You have to. Well, we got a guy on the line who he knows what it's all about. He's got two girls.
Yeah.
He's married, so he's in a house full of girls just like I am, just like you have been your whole life, Pooley. And
I have been.
Noodles, you snuck a boy in late, so you're kind of, I guess you even the field out in your house. Yeah. But I think I know who runs the show there. Yeah. Here is a longtime MLB-er from Fox Sports, Nick Swisher. What's happening, Nick?
Boys, what is good, fellas? How you guys holding up?
Well,
all right.
I was late to get back from the break for the first time. We've been doing the show from home for like 7 months. And garlic bread tripped me up, man. I had to go back for another piece.
The best line you had so far was you were like, you know what? I'm going hero mode. I'm going for it, right?
Yep.
I know exactly what that feels like, making sure you're doing everything for all your girls in the house. Oh, man, no doubt. So the fact you probably missed a little bit of time, I think we can excuse that. We got that.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I guess it's up for the boys to allow me off the hook. And I'm sure I got a chirp or two in, or you guys got a chirp or two in before I got back on the mic. But
one or two.
Maybe one or two.
Wasn't bad.
That's allowed.
We went right to the player would never be late.
Yeah, players
only.
Former
player
show.
Would never be late because the former player show, Nick, you'd never be late for a meeting like this.
Hey, 100% agree. Yes, sir. 100% agree.
Well, you look like you're having a lot of fun in retirement, man. You're working for Fox. You're doing stuff with the Yankees. Your Instagram is hilarious. Like, you're on fire on Instagram. Are you having more fun with retirement, or do you wish you were still playing?
Well, I mean, I'm sure you guys all know exactly what I'm thinking, right? Like, I miss the locker room. I miss the guys. I miss the stories. I miss all that. I miss the competition. But, man, my body feels great. I can do anything I want. Any time of day, I've knocked 5 strokes off my game since quarantine hit. Like, I feel like at this moment, you know, it's such a blessing to be able to have had this awesome run and to be able to make some money, to be able to do these amazing things. But for me, I think more than anything, bro, I've been able to be home and be a dad, and I love that. You know, my dad was a big leaguer, and he wasn't home all the time. So to be able to be home and to be a father to my two girls, bro, like, I just want to be super dad. I want to be there every day, and I'm loving being able to be home.
Yeah, that's very, very cool to hear. And you, like I said, your Instagram is pretty hilarious to track, and you're married to an actress, and you've done some acting in the past. And we'll get to the ball game here in a moment, but I wanted to ask you, and I've been thinking about this for a while, like what made you more nervous, stepping into the batter's box in the World Series or stepping onto a set for the first day and having to act, even though you were playing yourself?
Oh, set stepping on stage, bro, because, like, I'm a decent baseball player. I'm a horrible actor, right? You know what I mean? So I was running lines with my wife. I mean, my fiance at the time. I was running lines with her every night, right, you know, trying to get ready for this. And then when you get up there, man, it's so in the moment, right? And you do the scene 100 times, right? So you're like, wow, it's crazy. What are they looking for? And then you start to get a little self-conscious. And then I'm like, oh, man. But I think for myself, dude, to be able to do those are bucket list things. I'm like, man, I'm just a little dude. I'm a dude from West Virginia, bro. Like, I never thought I would be able to do these awesome things. So anytime I get the opportunity to do those, bro, uncomfortable or not, bro, I'm 2 feet in. I'm going to do it.
Nick, part of hero mode for me raising my 3 daughters was we had to go see the Notre Dame baseball team all the time, and I was the hockey coach there. So we watched a young Nick Swisher strut into Notre Dame Stadium circa 2000, 2001 with the big bat. You going back that far?
Oh, yeah, baby. I can go back all the way.
Great weekend series.
I totally remember that.
Great weekend series.
Because for myself, I was such a huge Notre Dame football, you know, a football fan growing up. So when we got to be able to go to Notre Dame and play in that Super Regional, I'll never forget it. Dude, we went on the field. I saw Touchdown Jesus in person. I'm like, bro, this place is amazing. So I just tried to soak up all of that because that took me back to, like, the Rudy days, right? Rudy Rudiger, right? Like, you know,
absolutely.
Back when I was a little kid growing up. So it was awesome, man. Yeah, like, what an opportunity. And obviously, to be able to go... you know, playing such a prestigious school even for that weekend, bro. It was awesome, bro. I'll never forget it.
We're chatting with Nick Swisher, longtime big leaguer, World Series winner with the Yankees, Fox Sports, MLB analyst, game one of the World Series tonight. Are you rooting for Clayton Kershaw? Do you want to see him perform and win just so we can stop talking about, you know, his playoff performances throughout his career?
Yeah, you feel like that is definitely the narrative of Clayton Kershaw. It's like all of a sudden October hits and that's exactly what we start talking about. I think he's done so many things in the regular season. It's almost like we need him to do this so we can validate him as the Hall of Famer we think he is. On top of that, I think more than anything, bro, this guy has done so much for the city of Los Angeles, for the game of baseball, just the communities that he's a part of. Like, the guy gives back and does things the right way. He's a role model to so many young kids. And to be able to have somebody like that at the forefront of your organization is amazing. So I feel like you have to root for somebody like that, you know? I was fortunate enough to be part of a 2009 World Series team where Alex Rodriguez broke out of his playoff, you know, I guess, funk, you could say, and really kind of, you know, helped, you know, drive us to win that World Series. So I was able to see firsthand what it's like to see the chains just ripped off of somebody and just the freeness that they have. And I'm obviously, you know, I mean, from the way I'm talking, I'm hoping that happens to Clayton Kershaw on this World Series.
So back in 09 with A-Rod, you know, in New York, you're inside the clubhouse. You're playing. So you're not too concerned about what people are writing in the papers or talking about on sports radio. But was that the storyline, like A-Rod breaking out, or was it still about kind of Jeter getting back to the dance and picking up a fifth ring? Or
well,
sixth
I think
ring,
just
I think.
In general, well, yeah, well, you got to remember, I mean, 2008, I mean, they didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, that was the last year of old Yankee Stadium. So 2009 was that first year of new Yankee Stadium, right? And everybody knows in 1932, first year of old Yankee Stadium, they won the World Series. So there was always a lot of talk about, obviously, the Yankee way. I mean, if you either win the World Series or you don't, I mean, that's either a successful season or not. I think that's exactly where the standards are held. So I just, you know, shoot, I got all off track, bro. What were we talking about? I
just had A-Rod and Jeter.
I had like 16 different stories going on. I was like, bro, this and this and this. No, but I think to be able to have that guy in the locker room was awesome. But I definitely think that was a huge storyline, was A-Rod breaking out, right? He had multiple huge home runs for us. You know, he was a major leader for us, you know, for myself, the 4 years that I was there. And obviously right now, just, you know, being as successful off the field as he ever was on the field.
So what is the feeling throughout baseball? Like, you're out of it now, so you're not worried about making money or contracts in terms of ownership, you know, splashing money around. But Tampa is basically making like $25,000 total as a team. Like, they make no money and they're in the World Series. Like, if you're a free agent and you're coming up, I don't think I'm rooting for Tampa, because if they win, now every owner in baseball is going to be like, I guess we can slash payroll and still win a World Series.
Yeah, well, I think everything the Oakland A's have done, as well as the Tampa Bay Rays, I think they've definitely proven that it works. I think if you have your correct algorithm that works for your organization, you could pick the guys that you need. I think that's amazing, right? Could you imagine, you know, putting in some sort of an investment for like $20 and getting this massive, you know, profit coming back? That's exactly what the Tampa Bay Rays do. I don't think many free agents want to go to Tampa, regardless if you win a World Series or not, because the money's not there. You know, so I think for what they've done, it's impressive. But I think the storyline of this World Series, I think, is the Dodgers, right? It's like, come on, man, third time, 4 years, it's about time they do it. It's almost like it's written in the stars. Clayton Kershaw somehow ends up being the game one starter because they needed to use Walker Buehler. But still, it's like it's set up for them. It feels like the right pick. But, man, Randy Arozarena from the Rays and everything that they've done, they're exciting, they're fun. I think watching a team like that, man, it should let you know that there's a lot of joy in the game of baseball as well, you know?
You talk about the money and the Dodgers, and how much has Mookie Betts meant to that team, as much off the field as on the field?
Yeah, 100%. You win one World Series, that $436 million already paid for itself, you know? It's just kind of, he's the type of guy that, you know, it's funny, Mike Trout signs this huge contract, you know, Bryce Harper signs these huge contracts, Manny Machado signs these huge contracts. You know, you always you don't hear about Mike Trout or Mookie Betts making that money, because you're like, dude, they're totally worth it. They're worth every penny. Everybody else, we kind of break down a little bit. But I think for what he's done, not only, like you said, on the field, but I think in that locker room, And not only that, man, you've been able to see some of these amazing catches he's made this offseason. I mean, he doesn't look like an athlete, but he gets out there, bro, and he's the best athlete on the field. And his personality shines through. He loves the game. I saw a quote today that the Dodgers' DNA is all about winning, or the Dodgers' philosophy is all about winning, and that's right. That lines up with my DNA. So he's a winner. He wants to be a winner. And, you know, hopefully at the end of this World Series, if they can get it done, he'll be one.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And he's already got the ring from Boston from a couple of years ago. And
correct. Yep.
And, like, you know the curse of the Babe, and they broke through on that in 04. I mean, I don't think the Red Sox are concerned about a trade from almost 100 years ago or over 100 years ago. But there is some concern now that Boston moving on from Mookie Betts, like, they're not going to be able to live that down, because how do you trade a guy basically for money?
100%. I mean, look at New England in general. Tom Brady's in Tampa kicking ass. Mm-hmm. Mookie Betts is out in L.A. doing his thing. You know, the Lightning just won the Stanley Cup. I mean, come on, bro. There's a lot of amazing – the Rays are in the World Series. There's a lot of great things that are going on here in Tampa. So, you know, we'll see what's going to happen, man. Yeah. It should be a great series. I'm really, really excited. This is kind of one of those series that, you know, I don't think it's going to be ridiculously high scoring like we're used to seeing in some of these games. I think the pitching is so tremendous on both sides. I'm really interested to see this, man. It's going to be a great matchup.
Yeah, it's going to be fun with Nick Swisher. We'll get you out of here on the bat flip topic, which I'm sure you've talked to death over the years. But Bellinger pimped that home run a couple of nights ago.
Oh, right? Yeah, bro.
It was swag. But where do you stand on that, you know, the whole conversation revolving around it?
Oh, hell, man. I wish I could have done it. No doubt about it, bro. But back when I was doing it, if you would have done that, bro, that next one would have been right in your rib. 100%.
Yeah.
It is different to see how the game has evolved. But, you know, I mean, you know, if you want to be part of the game moving forward, you have to stay fluid. You have to stay open to the new things that are going to happen. Obviously, analytics is playing a huge part of the game. I'm sure there's a lot of baseball purists that don't agree with that. And that's okay, right? I mean, that's why the game is great. There's a lot of different philosophies on what you think. But for me, man, like, you know, if you don't want me to dance, bro, don't let me get in the end zone. You know, I get to the end of the day, you know, so... for what these guys are doing, and, you know, it just seems like baseball now is such a feast or famine game. It's either home runs or strikeouts, or, you know, pitchers would rather walk guys than giving up a hit, because these guys are so athletic and big and strong, and with the velocity sitting around 95-plus on an average, I mean, when you make contact with that, I mean, wow. I mean, it's your exit velo off the chart. So, you know, for me, I mean, I try and look at it from a pitcher standpoint. It's got to be hard, but these guys can throw 100 miles an hour. I was never able to do that, man. So I think that's definitely an advantage.
Yep, I'm with you on that. Well, it's going to be a fun one tonight and throughout the series. Enjoy it, Nick. Really appreciate you taking time, man. We'll do this again down the road. Thank you for this.
Oh, hell yeah, fellas, man. You guys have a good day, man. I'll talk to y'all soon.
You got it. Nick Swisher from Fox Sports.
I want to be his best friend.
Yeah.
I love that.
Okay,
man.
Guys, wait a second. Turn the clock back and picture a junior in college strutting to the on-deck circle. Okay.
Yeah.
Swag. The hair flowing. You think?
Swag.
You think he had swag
game
in college?
He has game.
He was great.
He's got game.
He was great. He had the whole crowd fired up. And it'd be, you know, the little stadium sat like 3,500 and be just packed for those super regional games. And he was just loving it. Home team against Nick Swisher. He was absolutely loving it. He was a player, boy.
Well, he played football. He played basketball. Like, he's just a pure athlete. And, yeah, he was, I guess he went to the Buckeyes, right? Was he Ohio State, I believe? And
he was Ohio State, yeah. He was Ohio State baseball player, but a real good high school football player. Because I remember talking to our guys back then, our football coaches who were also watching the baseball series, talking about how they'd recruited him to play football at Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, he's a big-time athlete.
And speaking of that, I'm pretty sure Kyler Murray made the right decision, right? Like, he could have been grinding in the minors, or maybe he's up with Oakland by now and he's making a certain amount of money, or he's lighting up the Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football and he's got a chance at taking his Arizona Cardinals back to the playoffs for the first time in a long time.
You know what? So, flip it the other way, though, Brian. You know, I was there when Jeff Samardzija was there, and he was a first-team All-American wide receiver, you know, going across the middle, and what has he had, 15 years as
he
a
made
major
the right
baseball
call
pitcher?
Yep. Yeah. His arm stayed alive. He made a lot of money.
And he's healthy as can be.
Yep. Oh, it goes both ways.
You know, it's
a tough call. I mean, Murray was such a unique scenario because he was the 9th overall pick, I believe, in baseball.
Right.
Like, the number one prospect in Oakland's organization, or close to it anyway, and or first overall pick in the NFL. I mean, those are just two remarkable options.
That's ridiculous. That's
Samardzija was going to be a first round pick in the NFL, maybe second. And I don't think he went until the later rounds in baseball.
He went in the fifth round in baseball.
Yep.
And the Cubs took him because they knew they had a chance to sign him, and they gave him like second round money to sign.
Yeah.
But he would have been a first rounder in football.
Yeah. Yeah. He was him and Brady Quinn, right? Like that was great, Charlie Weiss and. Yep. They never got over the top in Notre Dame with Charlie. There's another guy.
Actually, they lost to a guy we've had on today, Bobby Carpenter. Bobby Carpenter was part of that linebacking corps with A.J. Hawk.
With the Buckeyes.
On the Buckeyes that beat them in the Fiesta Bowl.
Yep, that's right.